Good morning. I'm also very happy to be here on time. When I was younger, that's a number of years ago, if I go to a place once, I would remember how to go, and I wouldn't have any trouble. You know, as time goes on, my memory starts to fail me, and these days, whenever I go to a new place, I Google it, right? And I said, okay, this is how I go, this street, that street. But then I've been at this church 15 times, 20 times, 25 times. So I was confident that I would get here all right. So I lived up near, let's say, Morristown, that area, north of here. So I came down on Route 1, and I knew that I was looking for Route 18. I think the mic is a little bit too loud. Sorry. I was looking for Route 18, and then I said, okay, that's either before Sears or after Sears, but definitely before Rider's Lane. You all know Rider's Lane, don't you? All right. So I drove on. I said, wait a minute, where's Route 18? Now, apparently, there was some construction, and the signs were taken down. The street was still there, but there was no sign. As I was passing it, I saw something on the ground. Okay, the street signs, the big, you know, the signs. So I went past and I got onto Rider's Lane. And I said to myself, I said, okay, when I come down the street to Lexington, I pass by Rider's Lane. Maybe I should like go on Rider's Lane. Well, you know, I wasn't confident in myself these days. I said, no, let me go look for my GPS. So I put in South Brunswick, Lexington Avenue. Wow, take me to Trenton. I said, wait a minute. Yeah, that doesn't seem right. So I made a quick prayer, and I said, okay, I'm gonna go back north on Route 1. And thank God, when I get back, when I turn around on Rider's Lane and got back on Route 1, I saw the sign New Jersey Turnpike. I knew that was Route 18, so I came, here. Sometimes, it's good to Google, right, to find the road map. And instead of just, hey, Gracie, good to see you. Instead of just relying on your own memories. Easter's almost here. Verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Now, I'd be curious to find out how Jesus explained to disciples. Too bad he's not here anymore today. I would love to listen to his explanation, and that the disciples still didn't get it. Just like your teacher explains something to you and you won't get it. Or your parents, your mom, your dad try to explain something to you, you won't get it. The second point, he must go to Jerusalem. Why must he go to Jerusalem? Doesn't he have a choice? Didn't he have the freedom to go and turn around? Why must he go to Jerusalem to die, to suffer at the hands of the elders, and then to be killed? He had an option. He didn't have to go, right? If I were Peter, I would do exactly the same. Jesus, look at all the miracles. Look how many sick people you healed, how many blind you made see, how many lepers you cleansed. Stay here. With you leading us, we'll overthrow the Romans. We'll have a kingdom on earth. You be our king. What can be greater than that? That's the right way. Why must you go to Jerusalem? Yeah. Choice, freedom. I think that's the most overused and misused word here today in America. We all think we have a choice in everything. And we all think we have freedom to do whatever you want. But we learn from Jesus. He never considered he had a choice. He never considered he had the freedom to choose not to die on the cross, because he knew he came for a purpose. Jesus knew he came for a purpose. He had come down from heaven to do not his will, not to do his own will, but to do the will of the one who sent him. He knew that was his purpose. Do we have a purpose in our life? Do we? Seems like most of us go to school. Some of us go to work. You may be in 9th grade or 8th grade or 7th grade or 10th grade or in college. You get up, you go to school. You finish school, teachers are boring, okay? They're unreasonable. Sorry, Professor Luke. I just saw my son yesterday and he told me that. He said he had a test, computer science. He said the TA gave him a 96, all right? And when he got his test back, before he got his test back, the professor said, there's something wrong. He said, I'm very happy everybody did very well, but everybody did too well. So he said, I'm going to look over the test myself. And so he graded everybody down. So instead of a 96, he got a 77, all right? Another person got a 93, and he got, I think, a 73. That's unreasonable. I'm sorry, he's professors. But anyway, you go to school, right? And you come home. You eat dinner. You do some work. You go to sleep. You get up. You go to school again. Every day is the same. We're not going anywhere. You go to work. You go to work. You do your work. You come home. You have dinner. You have your children, or you're by yourself, and you sleep, and you go to work the next day. You know, year in, year out, it's the same. We're not going anywhere. Wrong, we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. I hadn't seen I had a doctor about 4 or 5 years ago, and because of insurance, I changed my insurance. I had to go with a new doctor. And recently, my new doctor said, Felix, you're kind of borderline diabetic. He said, why don't you get your old file from your previous doctor and gave it to me? I want to see your blood test results. So I went back there. I was amazed to see, instead of just parking and walking down the steps going to the office, I see 5-6 cars lined up. That's valet parking. Now, this is not a hotel, right? This is a medical office with a doctor. 5-6 cars lined up, and more cars coming up, and the valet people were running back and forth. They don't have time to move these cars, right? That's why the cars line up. And all you see is people with white hair in wheelchair, can't walk. Okay, that's why they're valet parking, because these people are getting old. So I said, wow, this doctor, he should have an older clientele. But second thought, no. These patients had been with him for 20 years. As they start seeing him when they're in their 30s, 40s, now 20 years later, they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. They can't walk anymore. We're going somewhere, like it or not. You may think that your day is the same, it's boring. But you are going somewhere. I am going somewhere. And there's nothing can do about it. But since we're going somewhere, what's the purpose of us here today? Maybe you think you don't have a purpose. You just go to school, you come home, you play your video games, you do some work, you talk to your friends, you eat dinner, you complain about your parents, and you go to sleep. There is a purpose. And the problem, the thing you need to do is to find out what your purpose is. What purpose has God given you to be on this earth? That's for you to find out. You need to Google it once a while. You need to find out where you're going. Okay? Just like for me, I should have Googled how to get to Lexington Avenue today. Once a while in life, you need to get on the computer with God and Google and try to find out where God wants you to go. And then after you know where you're going, what motivates you to get there? Just like Jesus, he must go to Jerusalem. What motivated him to go to Jerusalem? March Madness. Some of the boys probably get excited about that. You know, to me, I think it's boring because all you see is Big East teams playing well, right? UConn, I can't stand it. Anyways, nobody's going to Connecticut, so I'm safe. But, you know, these players, right? What makes them play hard? What makes them excel? It's not that they're born with talent. There are plenty of talented players in the NBA. There are plenty of talented players on the Knicks, but they don't play well. What motivates a person? For some people, maybe fame. Okay, maybe these college players want to be drafted. For other players, maybe it's for pride. They're competitors. They want to beat the opponent. Some, they just like for the fun of playing. They love playing basketball. And they play the hardest. They play the hearts out. Some, they are perfectionists. Like I hope maybe one or two among us are perfectionists. When you do your homework, you want to do it well. You want to do it perfectly. When you clean your room, you want to clean it well so there's no dust. Perfectionist. But I don't think there are too many of us here that are perfectionists. Now, these are all legitimate motivating factors. But what about Christ? What motivated him to go to Jerusalem? How about obedience? Obedience is doing what we have been told or ordered to do by someone in authority. Let me repeat. Obedience is doing what we are told to do or ordered to do by someone in authority. There's no choice here. There's no freedom here in that definition. You're ordered to do something by someone in authority. Jesus didn't have a choice? Sure, he had a choice. He could turn around and not go to Jerusalem. But he knew that was his purpose. He had a choice, but in fact, he did not have a choice. He did not have another option. You hear me? Jesus did not have another option because he has to obey the Father. My food, he says, is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. He had to obey the Heavenly Father. He must complete the purpose in life by obeying his Heavenly Father. He had the option to turn around, but to him it's not an option. Do you quite understand? Now people, you know a classmate who cheats, right? Have you cheated in tests? You have? No? Okay. You know, you have an option. You can cheat on your test. But it is not an option. You can cheat, but you won't, because you won't cheat. You understand the difference? You have an option, but it is not an option available to you. I have someone, just 2 weeks ago, he didn't go to class for 2 days. I called him up. He says, Felix, he says, I didn't feel like it. Now, I understand, because his favorite class was mathematics. But because his English is not good enough, it's below a certain level. They didn't let him study math because that's the highest level of math. He needs English, better English, to understand, to comprehend the written questions. So they took that away from him. So he was bored. He said, I didn't feel like going. All I did was 4 classes of English. I didn't want to do it. I explained to him, Yes, I understand. You have the freedom of not going to class in New York City. I'm not sure about here, okay, in New York City. But it is not an option. You don't take that option. In life, a lot of things you could do. A life, a lot of things you can choose to do. Drugs, drinking, sex, but it is not an option. You won't take that option. And that's what Christ did. He could turn around and not go to Jerusalem, because who wants to suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and be killed on a cross? Nobody did. But he would not turn around because that wasn't an option for him. I understand a lot of times we have problems with our parents. I understand a lot of times we have problems with our children. But the Bible clearly says, obey your parents in everything. You hear me? Obey your parents in everything. Didn't say obey your parents in things you like. Didn't say obey your parents in the things that everybody else obeys them. The teaching here is obey your parents in every single matter. Why? Because this pleases the Lord. So when you're upset at your parents, remember this particular verse. When you feel like your parents are asking you to give up something you like or you love to do and to do things according to their way, before you complain, before you get annoyed, think about this particular verse. Obey your parents in everything. Now, to give a good balance, in Ephesians it says, parents, right? Bring them up, bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. But do not exasperate your children. Don't get them upset. Don't ruffle their feathers. Okay? Which to me, okay, my personal experience is that you learn how to deal with your children. Learn how to communicate with them. Learn how to understand the way they think. Try not to yell. Try not to demand so much. I believe it's good to push your children a little bit. Let's say, you know, we want our children to do music. You know, get them to piano. Half a year. A year. If they like it, great. If they don't, they don't. Or sports, right? Try some sports. If they like it, they like it. They don't, they don't. But don't exasperate your children. Obedience. Obeying your parents is the number one thing for children. For you. Now, obedience doesn't come alone. Obedience and submission go hand in hand. Okay, in Acts 20, Paul said the following. Acts 20, verse 22, Paul said, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. Okay? Jesus and Paul, they were going to the same place. Paul said, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. And following, what he said was similar to what Christ said. He said, not knowing what will happen to me there, but I know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Prison and hardship are facing me. Did Paul have a choice not to go? Yeah, he had a choice not to go, of course. But here he says he was compelled by the Holy Spirit. He submitted to the conviction and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He knew something bad was going to happen to him. Prison. Hardships. Yet he was going. So many, very often, we choose things we like to do. When something is hard, we're not going to go that way. We avoid difficulties. But here is, for Paul, similar to what Jesus had. He had to go to Jerusalem. He was compelled. He had another option. He didn't have to go, but he was compelled. He had no option. Isn't it funny? A lot of times we say, oh, God bless us and give us good things. Here it is, a good example. It's bad things waiting for Paul, and yet the Holy Spirit wanted him to go, compelled him to go. From God's perspective, God wanted the best for Paul, just like he wanted the best for you. But from God's perspective, he had given Paul the task of spreading the gospel to Gentiles. So in order to do that, Paul must go through this route to Jerusalem. Yeah, bad things could happen to him. Bad things were waiting for Paul. But yet, from God's perspective, this was the route that Paul had to go through. But for Paul, from his perspective, he knew bad things was happening. Physical danger, bad things. But yet, spiritually, he was in good hands. He was safe and secure. Understand the dilemma? Physically, Paul was in danger. But yet, spiritually, he was safe and secure. Understanding that, he submitted to the prompting of the Spirit, knowing that even though he was compelled, he went willingly. He was compelled, yet he recognized he had no other option, and he went willingly. A lot of times we felt like we have options, but so very often we didn't know what to do. You didn't know what you want to do. A lot of times I ask my children, where do you want to go for dinner? Oh, I don't know. Anywhere. You want Italian? You want Chinese? You want American? You want sushi? Oh, whatever. And I said, okay, we'll go Chinese. Oh no, we don't want to go Chinese. Does that happen to you? No? Yeah? We have many, many, many choices. But the sad thing is, we don't know which one to choose. Let alone knowing that the choice is going to be the right one. Recently, a young person came up to me and he said he wanted to open up a business. He hadn't graduated from high school. Now, I'm not saying that he would not be successful as a businessman because he didn't go to high school. Because he didn't finish high school. He didn't graduate high school. He dropped out. I explained to him that, well, the chances of you succeeding is, you know, less, of course, because, you know, you didn't know anything about accounting. You didn't know anything about planning. So he asked me what he should do. So I gave him some of the things that he should do, like find out if there's a market for what he's trying to sell, find out the place, how much is the rent, this and that. And I said, one last thing, the most important thing. Ask God if that's what he wanted you to do. Now, he gave me a funny look. The look told me that he had never thought of that. As a Christian, he had never thought of that. That to ask God if that's something that God wanted him to do. We have choices. But unfortunately, a lot of times, it's your choice for yourself. It's not God's choice for you. And you don't know it's the right choice. We need to Google and find out what is God's purpose for us. Because that's the only way that's the right choice. A very favorite phrase of mine these days, or is it a clause? It is what it is. It is what it is. Don't question God. Don't fight and argue with Him. Why this happened to me? Why this? Why that? The answer is, it is what it is. God is sovereign. He is someone in authority. He's going to order you what you're going to do. And all we can do is submit to His sovereignty. It is what it is. So, acknowledge the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You want to choose your way? Fine. But I tell you, you don't know, even if you choose your way, you don't know if it's the right way, if good things can happen to you. So, the better way is to ask God. Pray. Ask God to show you the right way. Because whether good things happen or bad things happen, if God's way, even though physically you may suffer, you may have certain consequences, but spiritually you're safe and secure. And don't question God's way, because God will tell you, it is what it is. That's the way He has chosen for us. Obedience, submission to God's sovereignty, followed by sacrifice. And this is the memory verse we read, right? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. Sacrifice. Without submission, without obedience, there won't be any sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying you should give up everything and follow God, because we don't quite understand what that means. Sacrifice is not like making an offering, getting money out of your pocket to put it in the offering box. Sacrificing. Sacrificing means giving up something you like for God. I don't want to say giving something you love for God. I say giving something you like for God. How about spending 10 minutes less each day on your video games, on your computer, and doing something that God would like you to do? 10 minutes. Would you be willing to do that? That's a sacrifice. That's not a big sacrifice, but that's a sacrifice. Giving up something you like. Giving up talking to your friends, iming your friends. Help your parents for 10 minutes. That's a sacrifice. That's not hard, 10 minutes. Come on. Right? Sacrifice something for God. A lot of times we feel like, well, we got to do something for God. That's a little bit more abstract. For me, if you're willing to sacrifice something and pleases God, that's just as good. If you obey your parents, if you do homework. Okay? I recently translated for the primary school one, PS1, in New York City. They have a parent-teacher meeting, and the teachers are all complaining. The students, they don't finish the homework. One kid did the first page and the last page. In the middle, three pages are blank. Now the parents didn't know. The parents said, "Oh, I asked him. He said he finished his homework." Well, to him, he finished his homework because he did the last page. But the middle three pages were blank. How about taking your studying? I presume all of you are good students. Can I presume that? Alright? But when I translate for the teacher, they always say, "You can do better. You can do a little bit better. You're good students, but you can do better." So if you can be a little bit better student, that pleases God, then you're sacrificing. I'm trying to bring it lower so that you understand. As you get older, when you become college student or when you come out to work, sacrificing could mean totally different. Totally different. But when you're a student, I would like to encourage you to think about what you can do to please God. Sacrificing something you love for God. For Christ, He sacrificed His life to do the will of God. For Paul, he sacrificed his life to complete his task of spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. What would be our motivation in sacrificing for God? Verse 25. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. If you're so concerned about your physical things, material things, you lose your spiritual life. But if you're concerned about your spiritual life, that you're willing to obey and submit and sacrifice for Christ, you'll find it. Jesus said, what good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? And I think a lot of millionaires and billionaires are beginning to understand this particular verse these days. Jesus must go to Jerusalem. Paul was compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. So may I ask, where is your Jerusalem? For each individual one of us, you have a Jerusalem. That's where you're going. So don't sit on your hands and Google the roadmap. Ask God, where is the Jerusalem for me? And how am I going to get there? Knowing that we need to obey, submit, and sacrifice to God. Like it or not, one day I told Auntie Lucy, I'll be sitting in those wheelchairs, just like those older people. But I said, while I can still walk for the Lord. If you are willing to submit to Him, if you're willing to obey Him and sacrifice for Him, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Isaiah 30, 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you're willing to obey Him, when you're willing to submit to Him, when you're willing to sacrifice for the Lord, you'll hear His voice. Jesus will tell you, this is the way, this is the right way, walk in it.